Hello there, and welcome to my podcast. I'm Connie. I'm a certified nutritionist, personal trainer, busy mom, and I live on a small hobby farm. I'm a former bodybuilder, and I currently have found a love for endurance sports. But I'm not your typical athlete. I believe there are many more contributors to athletic performance and overall health, and that we as a population might be doing it wrong. You won't see me pounding goos or chicken and rice, but you will see me in the pursuit to fuel not only athletic performance, but also balance it with optimal health. This is not just a podcast for athletes. Many people that fall into the health scene get there for a reason. I found myself in suboptimal states at multiple times in my life, and it has really sparked my passion for metabolic and systemic health. I'm constantly a student of what I love, and now I hope to help others by bringing quality guests to the show to share their opinions and resources to hopefully help you formulate strategies to help you crack your health code. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I'm super excited that you decided to spend some time with me today. Today we have Danny Vega coming on the show. He is such an incredible human, you guys, and he actually has his Master's of Science in Human Performance from the University of Florida, where he has worked with national championship men's basketball teams, along with women's basketball, tennis, and golf programs. He's been out of collegiate strength and conditioning for almost a decade, but has continued to compete in sports such as CrossFit, powerlifting, running half marathons, and now he's into rowing. In 2016, he discovered a ketogenic lifestyle, and he's never looked back. He's found so many benefits within a week of switching that he knew it would be his new way of life. Inflammation and injuries from years of playing on turf and beating himself up with heavy lifting were gone, and he regained control over his hunger and found mental clarity and increased productivity. Today, Danny and I talk all things health, such as muscle building, eating healthy with family, mindset, and so much more. I'm so excited for you guys to hear all of that, so let's get to the show. This episode is brought to you by Beauty Counter. Beauty Counter is quickly becoming my new obsession, and I guess I can't call it an unhealthy one because their makeup is free of over 1,800 chemicals and toxins that are commonly found in most makeup and skincare brands. Not only that, but I fully support their mission because they're not just selling makeup, guys. They're actually changing the laws revolving around makeup, which is really incredible considering the U.S. hasn't passed any laws governing makeup since 1938, and that's a little scary, folks. Anyway, if you want to help support my cause and this podcast, head on over to beautycounter.com/ConnieNightingale. And as a first-time customer, you can use the code CHANGEBEAUTY10 for 10% off at checkout. All right, Danny, I finally have you coming on the show, which is amazing. I don't know how it hasn't happened sooner, but I'm really excited to have you here joining me today. And welcome, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. I know we had a little bit of confusion with the last booking, but we got it taken care of.
I'm excited about that. And it actually worked out pretty well because we had a big snowstorm going on and I had horrible internet connections. So see, everything happens for a reason. So before we get going too crazy here, because I know we have a lot of subjects that we want to talk about today. How about you just tell my listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do and all of that fun stuff, because you are involved in a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Miami. I've always been into sports, athletics, nutrition, all that stuff. I've always been obsessed with it. You know, I played college football. I was so focused on that in high school. I didn't touch anything. I was just a little Spartan kid. I remember my athletic director gave me his keys to the gym because he wouldn't open. The gym wasn't open before school. So I would be able to, it was just me and my training partner before school. And so I was just always focused on that. And Then I got my master's at University of Florida, and I worked with football for the first 8 months, and then the rest of those 2 years were spent in the basketball facility, assisting with men's and women's basketball. I was designing the training for men's and women's golf and men's and women's tennis, and that was a lot of experience. And just I have nothing but good things to say about the University of Florida. Like, they treated me so well. They gave me an amazing education. They also gave me my first job because when we won the national championship in 2006, I was about to graduate. And this assistant head coach got the job at VCU, Coach Anthony Grant, and then he took me to VCU with him. So it was like perfect timing. And then I was a strength and conditioning coach for VCU basketball. We did amazing things there. We beat Duke in the tournament. So we changed their style of play, and I was a big part of that because we had to get these guys ready. We did up-tempo basketball on 90 feet both ways. And they wrote an article about me in the Richmond Times-Dispatch about, like, what I was doing, all the new stuff that I brought in. And after a year and a half of that, I wasn't making that much money, and I was just like, I need to go home and I need to go chase money. And so I did that, and I did pharmaceutical sales for 3 years, and then I was just getting sick of that because I was like, I was talking about all this stuff that I thought was nonsense. And then I got into medical device sales. And I did that for about 10 years, and I did very, very well. But the last year, over a year, I was already like trying to get out, and it had no reason because my quality of life was great. You get to go to work in scrubs every day. You're in the hospital walking up and down. You're stimulated. You're in surgeries all day. But there were just things in the culture that I didn't like, and in my company specifically, that I didn't like. And so, thank God I have Maura, who's just a great supportive wife. And I told her in July of 2017 that, look, I don't think I want to do this anymore. I want to go back to my passion. And we were both starting to grow a following. And I was hosting the Ketogenic Athlete at the time. I started to do some public speaking and things like that. And we took the plunge in August of 2018. We started Fat Fueled Family LLC, and we have the podcast, we have the website. I've always, coaching is one of my main things. I do coaching, I do courses, I do programs, I do speaking, I do consulting with some small companies like startups. I've helped several companies break into the keto community and give them, just advice on how to approach things, formulations, things like that. And to this day, I mean, I just love what I do. I wake up every morning, I decide how I spend my day. It's very nerve-wracking sometimes because, it's like it's on me. We always think of this. One of my buddies, Jay Ferrugia, he's a veteran. Yeah. And he's a mentor of mine too. And when I went to go see him, I was about 6 months into doing this full time. And I thought I was just going to see him and visit him in Miami because he wanted me to go to one of his events that he was holding in Miami. And I didn't have the whole weekend. So I literally drove down for the day. I drove down 3 hours from Tampa, 3.5 hours, went to spend time with him. And the minute I got to his hotel room, he sat me down and he's like, all right, let's go. Let's talk about business. And I was like, oh. So he tore me apart. He's like, okay, do this, 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 and this. And this is funny because this is 2018. He told me back then, you need to change your name, your Instagram name, to your name. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that. And I didn't end up doing it until January of 2019 when I spent a weekend with Dr. Barry, and he told me to do it. And I was like, okay, it's time. Because he was like, people need to know you by name, your real name. And he told me about this thing, like, you need to figure out what your MIN is, your daily minimum income number. And so that's part of what I do is like every day I have that on my mind. And it's kind of like, it's one of those things where when you have a business, you have to survive. That's the main thing, right? Survive. But then at the same time, when you're in survival mode, you can't be as creative. You aren't really, it's almost like you're more selfish. And so for anybody who's out there who's trying to do entrepreneurship or break into this type of field specifically, I just have to say, like, you have to operate with a lack of fear. And because the minute you start trying to nickel and dime people and trying to make that buck, it doesn't work. And you're gonna hurt yourself versus give as much as possible. give of yourself, give of your time, give of your expertise, and it always comes back. And I know it's nerve-wracking, but it takes time. And sometimes, you know, like you need to just make it work financially, find out a way to make it work. I never had credit. I to this day, I have a credit card, but we still mostly operate on cash. But yeah, that's me. I'm rambling on, but I just, you know, getting into the business side, it's just really, we're gonna do a whole episode on this on the Low Carb Hustle podcast, because it's important, you know, like you have to be authentic and you have to stand by your principles. You can't waver on that, because your word and your reputation is all you have.
You know, I love that you said so many things there. And I'm thinking of all this because I mean, you know that you don't know me well, and we swim in the same circles, but we've not officially become good friends just yet. But anyway, the crazy thing is that I was coaching people, I was working full time, coaching people, going to school, going crazy at my day job of 14 years that I hated.
That's the
Okay. And
worst.
then here I'm coaching to people. I'm like, you need to lower your stress level
Oh
and
my gosh, I know that feeling. Oh my
and
gosh.
you need to do that. And I was finally one day I'm at work and I just looked down and I was like, what in the hell am I doing? Like, seriously, what am I doing? And I pulled the plug. Like the next day
Yes.
I was like, I'm out. I'm out. I'm gonna do what I'm passionate about. I don't care if I go broke. And everybody's like, how much money are you actually making? And I was like, I don't know. I'm probably making like $6 an hour, but I really like doing it, so I don't care, right? So in
That's
the
it.
end, we pay for joy, right? We pay to go do things that we love to do
That's true.
oftentimes. And so I'm doing something I love. I love to help people. I love to learn. Like, learning stuff is great. And I don't really care how much I'm getting paid or making, because as long as I'm doing something I enjoy and I'm not in the daily grind doing what I hate, where I'm like cussing my boss out while in my head while I'm working, you know, like as long as I'm not doing that, I don't care what I make. And I just want to make an impact. And as long as I'm happy doing that, that's all I care about.
Yeah, I mean, I was there. I felt that feeling, and I felt like a complex set of feelings, because my job, I got paid very, very well. And I'm like, you know, there's so many people. This is all in my head. I'm like, there's so many people who would die to be doing what you're doing right now. You know, like you're doing fantastic, and you don't want it. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't want it. Period. So it's like, it's my decision to make. And, you know, money's not everything. It really isn't. I can tell you that money helps you be able to get a little bit lazy and get a little bit just loose with stuff, like with your budgeting and stuff. When money's kind of like always an issue around the corner, it keeps you sharp. So I'm ultra sharp.
I love that. And then also, I want to circle back to how you said that you have to stand by your principles
Oh, yeah.
and just do, you know, your best job that you can. I really loved that because, you know, when I first started getting into this, I was brand new at it. I got so much shit, but I knew that I knew what I needed to know. I also am open to learning new things from every aspect. And I got so much crap from people that didn't really know anything, like, but they had a reputation.
Oh,
And
yeah. Yep.
because of that, I just kept telling myself, I mean, I got hammered on pretty hard in the local crowd because I do coach bodybuilding athletes. I do have an interest in keeping them healthy and not just doing the typical standard bro diet and all of the other things that come along with it. And
Yep.
I caught some serious shit to the point of where some local coaches were literally tagging me in things on social media going, where's the scientific research for this? And like saying you can eat all the junk food you want as long as you're counting your calories, and like tagging me in it. And it was like, wow, you know, I just recently started coaching, and it made me really kind of take an evaluation of why I was doing things. And I basically told myself at that point, I don't care what these people are doing to me. I'm going to continue to be a good human and help people. I'm not there to put the best physique on stage. If I can do that, that's great. But if I can do that and keep people as healthy as possible, then I don't care what these other people are saying. And so at that point, I decided to just be genuine to myself and my beliefs and not care what these other people are saying, because it's really important to stand by your standards, like you said.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and it was kind of funny because I actually did an Instagram live on this yesterday because I was just so frustrated. You scroll down social media and you see so many other coaches bashing on other people's way of doing things, and it's gotten aggressive. Like, it's gotten to where people are grabbing the phones and they're like going wah, wah, and banging things and going, you can't be on keto, or you can't fast, or who says this or who says that. And I'm like, man, where did all this aggression come from? I think that being closed-minded closes doors.
Yeah, I yesterday, was it yesterday? Might have been yesterday. Yeah, I think it was yesterday. Same thing with me. I had, you know, I've been making a lot of memes lately for my, just promoting the carnivore keto cut and having a lot of fun. And one of my followers was like, you know, why do you have to demonize carbs? And I was just like, I was kind of taken aback by it, because I'm never making blanket statements like that, you know? And I said, look, you know, because he said, you know, I eat 350 carbs a day and I'm the leanest I've ever been. I'm like, you know what? That's great for you. But I can tell you that my demographic, a lot of the people I work with, 35 to 55, have tried that way and it hasn't worked for them. And they come to me and it works. So, you know, great for you. And I go, and don't take a social media post, don't take a meme so seriously, you know? And then, you know, of course, then a bunch of my followers got, you know, started going at this guy. And the last thing I saw, because I don't get involved at that point, when it starts going like that, I just let it go. But then he said something like, you know, oh, so eating all meat, that's healthy, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, okay, you're fired. So I was like, you know what, you're fired. And he's like, oh, I unfollowed you already. I was like, perfect. I make probably one post a week that weeds out people that are not in my tribe. I literally do. Like, last week it was the Johan Blake refusing to take the vaccine for the Olympics. And I was waiting for that person to come up and say, well, you're just blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, perfect. You're the one I was looking for. Block. Because I don't care about my following. I want, as close as possible in a virtual world, an authentic audience of people that are in my tribe. I don't want faceless multitudes of people who I don't agree with on anything. And, you know, an echo chamber, the whole thing about the echo chamber thing, you know, an echo chamber is what you have in a symphony. And that's beautiful to me. It's a beautiful thing. Like, it's important to seek out other opinions and evaluate them against your own. But it's not my job to do that every single day and be on the battlefield of ideas every day. I also know what works. And I'd rather also, versus, you know, spending my days, you know, questioning what's going on. And, you know, this is not that complicated. You know, I'd rather hone my skills and get better and learn in the field that I'm good at, because I told this guy the same thing. You know, you can go anywhere and get a balanced diet. You can go to your registered dietitian, you can go to your doctor, you can go to any of these coaches that give you the bro diet, or if it fits your macros, and you'll get all the bagels and all the donuts you want and your cheat days and all that stuff. And I have a different set of standards, and that's what my audience is looking for. If that's not what they're looking for, I'm not their guy, you know? And that's that.
Absolutely. And I love that. And, you know, it seems like lately from that end of the community, they're like, not to be afraid of carbs. Don't be afraid of carbs. Don't do this. But the thing is they're teaching people to be afraid of calories. What's the difference? There is no difference.
I mean, I think I would argue that it's worse to be afraid of calories, because a lot of the time when people under eat, it's mostly fat. And fat is so important for everything. It's important for the absorption of vitamins. And this happens to women a lot. Women undereat a lot. And so they're underfed and they don't have everything that they need for their hormones. They don't need to have everything they need for their thyroid. They don't have everything and they're wrecking their metabolism. And so now someone comes to me and I'm like, are you tracking? Yeah. How many calories are you eating? 1300. Where do I start? I'm going to have to add. I literally have one person who I added right off the bat 300 calories, and I've done more than that. Sometimes I've had to ramp up, you know, and I find that some of them may gain a little bit of weight at first, but then they lose it. But some of them lose weight, you know, it's like, you know, and I'm not saying that they weren't eating that before, but maybe it could be, because I think this is a big issue, is that you set these unrealistic expectations for yourself and you're going over every day. And you're going over with junk because you're so starved that your body is asking you just for sugar. And so you 1300 is your calories, but you're not anywhere near what you should be eating with protein. So you're not satisfied. And, you know, at the end of the day, when your willpower is the weakest, is when you're adding that extra 200, 300, 400 calories of junk. So, I'd rather have a realistic meal plan. In a perfect world, no need to track, if you're at baseline and you're just, maintaining. But where you eat adequate food, and at the end of the day, you don't feel starved. Like my meals right now, I'm on a cut. I was eating 4,500 to 5,500 calories in January, and I had to prep myself for this cut because I'm down to 26 and change. I'm down right 2670, which is super low for me. But I had to take the month of February. By February, I was already like getting into like 3,500 to 3,000, and then the end of February, I was at 3,000, so that I can get myself ready for this cut. And this is not forever. It's only for a month. And then we reverse diet. So this cut is 4 weeks, and then there's 2 weeks after the 4 weeks where we keep the lowest macros. And then we have a 6 week reverse diet where we end up higher in calories than we were on week one. And that is your ramp back up to normal life, because you can't live life on a diet treadmill. Like you can't do that. And most people are doing that. And it's this rapidly swinging pendulum, one side to the other. And I see it a lot with the bodybuilding community, right? Because they do a show and they experience what it feels like to get to peak condition. And they're on top of it. They're probably miserable, especially if they're doing it from a high carb approach. But they are, then they rebound really bad. They gain more weight than they lost, before they even started competing. And then they're like, time to do another show. And that's, I see, how often do you see that?
And I haven't talked about this in quite a while with people, but you hit it right on the head there. And like, it's a constant thing. I watch the people around me, especially locally, that are just in this constant state of using a show as an excuse to lose weight in the most aggressive manner possible. And that is not good for your body. I can't think of one contest prep where I felt like $1 million when I stepped on the stage. Aside from the way that I looked, I was like, yeah, I look bomb ass, but I feel like a freaking zombie, which
And you haven't slept.
you can't sleep, your legs cramp, you feel completely like garbage. And it's like, like not totally not worth it. Plus that huge, like you said, and you use the exact words that I use constantly, which is that pendulum swing. If you swing it hard one way, it's going to come back hard the other. And I tell clients this all the time. I'm like, listen, if you want a coach that's going to lose you 30 pounds in 8 weeks and make this amazing transformation photo, it's not me. Because I'm that person that's going to take it down slowly, find your health, then the weight loss comes, then everything is great. But we're not going to do these giant swings back and forth so that you can gain a ton of weight afterwards. Just not the way I function.
Takes
So.
longer. It's not a hack. And most people don't like to hear that.
Well, I'm thankful that there's people like you out there that are speaking the truth on that because I love everything that you just said there. So let's
Thank
kind
you.
of touch on that now. You have the Fat Fueled Family and you have several podcasts out there actually. And it's if anybody knows who you are, they know that you're a huge fan of the ketogenic lifestyle. So when did that become a thing for you? Where did
Oh
you
my gosh.
start? And then when did you discover that that was something that you wanted to use for the rest of your life?
Well, I can tell you that I was kind of eating low carb since 2004. I was a huge fan of Dr. John Berardi back then, Precision Nutrition. I would read his articles. I thought he was very sharp. And then in 2011 was when we started the paleo diet, and that was just life-changing. We did Whole30, we did paleo, and we after like a year of paleo, we switched over to a more primal slash Weston A. Price, because we started to add more fermented foods. We did raw dairy, and I just felt so amazing. And then when I quit CrossFit, because I had done CrossFit for like 2 years, I was really getting into powerlifting, and I started powerlifting in 2013. It was my first meet, and I just kind of lost my way for a little bit there, because I was just running in circles of people who didn't really care much about nutrition. And so I was doing If It Fits Your Macros, and I was eating pretty much everything. At first, I kind of let the wheels fall off completely. I was just eating everything. And a lot of the aches and pains, I would just try to fix them with more ART, more massage therapy, more supportive gear. You just got to keep going. You can't stop. You just got to keep going and add something, put a band-aid on it and keep going. And then in 2016, I had had several meets under my belt. I had hit the top 25 in the country in the 220 weight class, done great. And I had to pull out of a meet because my left knee was just killing me. And I remember that it happened in 2015. And so I was like, this was a year in the making. And I pulled out of the meet. I got my diagnosis. I had a torn meniscus. I had chondromalacia. I had some cartilage damage and some other stuff. And so I said, you know what? Now I'm gonna just take a step back and try to lose some weight, because I was 240 at the time. I was right around 240, and I just needed to lose weight. And I had a buddy on my powerlifting team who's also a bodybuilder, so I had him put me on a bodybuilding diet. And of course, Maura joined me because we pretty much do everything together. And after about 6 or 7 weeks, we were both extremely shredded and we were both extremely miserable. And in Memorial Weekend of 2016, it's a long weekend, and we had just a blowout, complete blowout of cheating. And it was getting to that point, because we would have like a cheat day and then it would turn into a cheat weekend. And Memorial Day weekend, we were both just feeling so terrible, physically terrible, not like feeling bad about it. It's probably a little bit of that too. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. This is terrible. I mean, I'm so lean, it didn't matter, right? And my buddy Trevor had been in my ear for months about this keto diet thing. And he would show me pictures of keto pancakes and all this stuff. He's like, dude, this is awesome. It's low carb, it's high fat. I'm just like, what are you talking about? That's crazy. And so I decided at that point, what do I have to lose? It's a quality of life thing. And I started on June 12th, 2016. And remember, my carbs were already low because I was at the end of a cut. So all I did was add fat, and it was unbelievable. Like within 2 days, I felt like a new man. I just like I would, at the time when we moved to Tampa, we had to rent a house because it was a quick move. And I was upstairs, and we had to come downstairs every morning, and I felt like an old man, because I was whatever, 35 years old, and I felt like a 50-year-old. It would take me an hour to just get my body moving, just kind of lube things up to feel good. And I started to feel like going down the stairs, like, oh my gosh, I don't have this anymore. And I would feel like, in the parking lot, I had to park the furthest away. I had so much energy, I had to get it out. And I remember specifically one day in 2016, like maybe July, August, it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was still a medical device rep, and I was 2 hours away at a hospital. And I was just like, I realized how much energy I had at that point in the day, which I never had. I was always at that point of the day, like maybe get a coffee, this is what people don't understand about the ketogenic diet, is like it's so much more than like weight loss and fat loss, because my productivity that year increased by like 10 or 15%. And when you're already a high producing person, that makes the big difference. Like I won the Pinnacle Award at my company. I won a trip to Turks and Caicos with Maura. And it was because of that. Because at the end of the day, when you're tired and when you're kind of beat down and you're only on your own schedule, it's on you, and you say, should I make that last call? Should I see that last person? And it's going to be no almost every time if you're tired. And I was saying yes every time, So that's what the ketogenic diet. And I remember my first time I got on stage was KetoCon 2017. And that's all I spoke about, was that keto made me a superhuman. It really just made me so much better. And being back in this sphere now, like this space of keto, has helped me pursue what I love the most. Like you, I love to learn. I'm looking at my bookcase right now. If you were to see the amount of books that are there, it's crazy. I read all the time. I'm always getting to learn. I get to podcasts. I get to learn from the smartest people, and I've made some great friendships. And I mean, I can't think of a better existence. So I'm so grateful for this way of eating, and I'm grateful for what I know is gonna happen beyond my personal, like my physique and everything. I'm gonna age better. My kids have a strong foundation. I mean, my kids are just heads and tails above anyone else. I mean, I hate to brag, but My boys, Desmond, my oldest, can have a high level nutritional conversation with anybody. Like he, because we have so many conversations. So, these are the things that make this diet. Maura says, come for the fat loss, but stay for everything else. Because you're gonna, once those ketones start generating in your system, you're gonna see what it's like to feel good. Because most people are like, I'm fine just where I am. Well, you don't know what it's like to feel good yet, and you will protect that with your life.
I love that. And I'm glad that you brought up the kids because that's the other thing, right? It's so crazy. And I get this, I cannot tell you how many parents like they have the like oh, well, it comes from two sides, right? I'll start with here. I'll have a client come to me and they'll be like, "Well, I didn't have a very good weekend. I ate all of the Doritos at my house this weekend." And I'm like, "Well, why do you have Doritos at your house?" "Well, my kids need them for their lunches."
This is
And you'll see they'll be like, they're like, we're getting stuff for the kids' sleepovers. And they post it on Instagram. And all it is Mountain Dew and like cookies and Doritos and all of this shit. And I'm like, you're setting your kids up for the same problems you're having as an adult. Why are you doing this? So I'm sure you've heard this a million times. How do I do this and have my family be on board?
I never get sick of this. And first, let me say that, I've had a lot of success with a lot of programs, right? Like Carnivore Keto Cut alone, I mean, 21 countries people have done it. It's crazy. The family, we made a family program in end of 2018. It was a dud. And that was sad, not from the financial standpoint, but it really taught us, because it was me and Maura, and we paired up with our good friend Rachel Gregory. And we did that, and we were so excited. We were like, this is our mission. Like, this is exactly what we need to do. And now it's funny because now all the documents in the program, like, we give them out, like, they're just free documents. But there's nothing better than the personal incentive of getting abs, being beach ready. It's just not sexy to be like, learn how to get your family healthy, unfortunately, but it's more important than all of those things to me. And I will say that the first thing that people need to understand is at first it's probably scary, but then you realize how empowering it is that everything is your responsibility. And you have way more power than you will ever know. And that goes for anyone trying to tell you to take a vaccine or anyone trying to tell you to put something on your face or whatever. You have a lot more power and a lot more autonomy than you think. And people think that there's always this thing, like with anything, it's like, what was I supposed to do? You always have a choice, And so with your kids, it's the same thing. Like with your kids, it's a balancing act, because with us, like, we want to raise free humans. We don't want to raise, slaves. We don't want to raise sheep that just follow orders without questioning. And sometimes it can be annoying because they will question us, but that's exactly what we're asking for, right? So maintaining that autonomy and getting what you want is a little bit of a balancing act, but there are certain things that they don't know, and we do know, and we have to set those guardrails very early, because the longer you wait, the bigger the problem is going to be to address. And I understand a lot of people are going to be hearing this and they're going to feel discouraged because they have a 13-year-old that doesn't want to eat anything. And I get that. But it's better late than never. The most important thing that you need to do is make sure that your personal house is in order. Like you better be above reproach. You better not be sneaking any of those peeps or brownies or any of those things, because they see that. And it's like with anything else, like, stop screaming at your brother. Well, you're screaming at me. It's like they're, and I've done it so many times. Don't get me wrong. I've made that mistake. And it's like children, whether they realize it or not, subconsciously or consciously, they're going to be like, this guy's full of crap because he's telling me something and he's doing something else. And so the most important thing you need to make sure is that you are above reproach. When my kids offer me a cookie, like the other day, we were at a local supermarket, and the guy that was at the register, just like that's good parenting. Because I get there, I'm with the boys, we're on our way to jujitsu. We went to pick up, like, I forgot what it was, like protein or something. They wanted, like, they want, you know what they wanted? because I made the mistake of getting this for them once, and they said, oh, I want that again. I was like, all right, fine. It's not real food, but whatever. They wanted this Muscle Milk. So I got them a little Muscle Milk carton, which again, we always eat real food, but this was just one of those things. They were hungry, and I was like, okay, we'll do Muscle Milk. And we get to the register, and I tell my little one, because he's always the one who asks, like, and it's always no, but it's amazing. They stick with it. I guess they think they're gonna break me down one day. So I said, well, before we get here, the answer's no. He's like, what? I'm like, the answer's no, buddy. I love you, but the answer's no. And the guy's hearing it, and it's because he's like, can I have this Reese's cup? He's like, I'll give you one. I was like, I don't want your Reese's cup. I don't eat that. You know, even though that was my favorite candy when I ate candy. And that's the thing. So you got to be above reproach. So that's the first thing. The second thing is get all the crap out of the house. There's no excuse for any of this to be in the house. I have in-laws that come, I have people that come, and they're like, what do you mean you don't have this or you don't have that? I'm like, listen, if you want it, go get it, pack it up when you leave and take it with you. You know, I'm not gonna keep it in my house. It's just how it goes. There's that we don't eat that here. And so that's important. And then, you know, depending on the age, you know, you want to have conversations with them. You know, you definitely want to have education. There's a lot of education that goes on. And, you know, one of the things that we are adamant about, there's two important things. Number one is I'm not buying it with my money. If you want junk, you're gonna have to buy it with your money. And they do sometimes. You know, sometimes they got a little extra money, they'll buy junk. All of this junk is a novelty for them, because they've never had it. And so they've had Twinkies twice in their life. The second time was honestly like a week ago. It wasn't even that long ago. Desmond, my oldest, he's doing this thing now where he gets to ride his skateboard to Walmart because he wants to be independent. And I'm all about it. You know, it's not that far from us, and I love giving him his independence. And now he's like, do you guys need bacon? Do you guys need anything? I'll go to Walmart. So he went to Walmart the other day and he got a box of Twinkies, which is literally 10 Twinkies. And they ate it. Like, my youngest ate five, he ate three, and the neighbor ate two. And they felt like crap. And so, like, you take advantage of those times. I'm like, okay, what did you learn here? Because we always have this saying, you know, winners don't lose, they learn. And like, you know, when you're presented with the same decision to make again, you know, just remember what you did. Because, you know, adults, we have a bedtime, but we sleep late sometimes, right? We go to bed, we misbehave. We eat a certain way, but sometimes we misbehave. And we should give our kids the same type of grace, because they haven't learned those lessons yet. And if they don't learn those lessons, and you do, you know, just say that, you know, do this because I said so, it's going to be shallow, and it's only going to last while they're under your roof. And then you could be creating like a, you know, some bad relationship with food. So Halloween, get all the candy you want. I'm gonna offer you money for it, because a lot of the time I can give them some good money. Like, they'll make 20, $25 for their candy. Out of the last 5 years, most years I get all of their candy. And like this year, Desmond picked three candies that he wanted. And for the rest of it, I gave him $25, and then I literally threw the rest away. I didn't know what to do with that. You know, I'm not going to donate candy. I don't want to donate candy. My youngest Dean, he had a whole bunch of candy, you know? So, but that's the thing. Like, you want to, like, everybody says, let them live. And I'm like, I see some of these kids who can't do like an obstacle course, who are so obese, who are probably being made fun of. And to me, that's not living. You know, let them live is like, let them eat birthday cake at a birthday party. Sure. It doesn't mean give them dessert every night, give them snacks every day that are crap, you know, basically grains and sugar. And what a lot of parents don't realize is that if they keep the crap in the house, Maura made this observation. I was like, man, this is brilliant. You're turning your child into an unintentional vegan, because you're gonna serve them the meat and you're gonna think you checked that box, right? I gave them their protein, they got their protein, but they're not gonna eat the meat because they're gonna eat all the rest of the crap. And so all they're filling their body with is nutritionally devoid crap that's just really, really bang, boom, in your face flavors. And I'm sorry, but like, you know, a healthy meal is not gonna be able to compete with that. So, you know, you have to take that stuff out of the house, and you have to make it the exception to the rule. Do we give them like gluten-free pancakes sometimes? Sure. Do we give them, gluten-free stuff sometimes because they want it? Yeah. But most of the time, like, they're gonna have, chicken, steak, ground beef, maybe some sweet potatoes sometimes. When they barely eat vegetables, so when they're in the mood, they tell us what they want. Like, Desmond's like, I'm in the mood for peppers. Can you get some peppers? Sure, I'll get some peppers. So that's basically it. I mean, it's about being consistent, and it's about, having like a level head about you, so that you can realize, like, is this a battle that I want to pick, or is this a battle that I want to just say, you know what, let them have some fun. Because our kids, as it is, are so different. Like, they're homeschooled, they eat a certain way, and it's like they're used to defending their way of life. Like, they've had to several times for several years. And so when they're at a party, what we will do is we'll feed them before we get there. We always feed them before, like, a birthday party with some good food. And then, whatever they eat there, it's gonna be much less, because they have really, really intact, hunger signals and satiety signals. So yeah, I think I covered most of it.
Yeah, no, I think you did a great job. And all these things that you're saying are they really resonate with me. I mean, it's really sad the way the shape and demographic of kids has changed, even since I was a kid. I remember when I was a kid, there was maybe one chunky kid in the whole class. And now if you're the skinny kid, you're the one skinny kid in the class.
And
And
chunky was not like chunky what it is now. Like,
no.
have you seen The Goonies lately, by any chance?
Yeah, actually, we didn't watch it very long. Yeah, that's a
Yeah,
favorite in our house. Yeah.
like Chunk is not, he's not that chunky.
No.
Like, nowadays he's pretty normal,
Yep.
and that was like demonized in the 80s. Like, you're right. It's a different level of obesity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we went on a vacation recently, to a hot springs, and I would wager that 85% of the kids there were obese, over obese. And the hard part is like everybody's so busy worrying about hurting their feelings or things like that that they're not paying attention to the problem in front of them, which is the health concerns that comes along with looking that way. And so I think that it's really unfortunate that that's not being changed in some way or another. And even one of the parents, when we were there vacationing, she was like, I don't know what to do because my kids eat healthy. We do granola bars. And like most people don't even know,
They don't
right? And
know.
I
Yeah.
said, well, how about this? And they're like, oh, well, my son will get a package of this and he'll eat the whole thing. And I was like, well, listen, how about this? Since you're not home when they get off the school bus, I said, start doing their snack prep. Make a bin of things that has things in it, and that's their bin for the day, and they don't go over that bin.
Right.
Like that's you can pick what snacks you want out of this bin, but this is what it is. And start, also teaching them about things and yourself. I can't tell you how many people, like that's one of the services that I offer in my business is take people shopping and teach them how to read ingredient labels.
Yeah,
And
great.
nobody does that. So I was like, well, I'm going to do that. I love to teach people that because the front of the label doesn't mean anything and people place so much on that. And then you go to the back and you're like, holy shit, this is messed up.
Terrible.
But anyway, going back to that, I just think that your kids knowing what they're eating is super important. And like you said, it's not always perfect. My kids aren't perfect. Your kids aren't perfect. But we're giving them the tools to put in their toolbox to use. Whether they choose to use them in their adult life, that's one thing. But you're giving them the proper tools and understanding. And I think that's a really big thing.
Yeah, and I you just jogged my memory for a few other important points, because it all, again, personal responsibility. It's just a culture. Everything in the culture is completely against that now. And let's be honest, you're gonna do a lot of cooking. You just are. Like, there's great keto options now, but for the most part, you got to be eating real food. And if you're gonna be doing a lot of cooking, you need to involve your child. And back in our paleo days, back before Desmond was even born, maybe Desmond had been born already. We had bought Eat Like a Dinosaur, which is a little kid's book about paleo.
Is it by
And it was,
Mark Sisson?
No, this one was like by the Paleo family or something. I didn't know Mark wrote like a kid's book.
Yeah,
I need
there's a kid book out there. And maybe it's just something the caveman. I don't know, but yeah, there's a kid's book out there by Mark Sisson too.
We have a few. I just got Mark's new book. They just him and Brad wrote another book
I love Brad.
called Two Meals a Day. Yeah, we have I think we have Brad on next week or something because he's got his new book. So I love Brad. Brad's the man. Yeah.
Awesome.
This will be his second time on this podcast. We had him a few times on the Ketogenic Athlete. But there's Eat Like a Dinosaur. There's Fathead Kids by the guy who did Fathead. I forget his name. There are so many. Buddies in My Belly, which is another great one. It teaches them about probiotics and all the different probiotics. And they even sell like plush toys that you can get. And so you have like Bacilli and you have Lacti and you have like Lactobacillus and you have all these different. And so there was that, and there was one more that maybe I'll remember. But yeah, like involving them in the process is so important, and understanding that our children do n never really experience hunger. We don't even give them a chance to. They're always overfed. And so if your child is telling you, I'm not going to eat that, then you don't have to. The important thing is to be calm, because they lose the message when you lose your mind, because they're defensive. And so you simply tell them that's okay. You don't have to eat it. When you're ready for food, you can eat it. And just there might be a few days of struggle. And depending on how defiant your child is, it might last a little bit longer. They might go on a hunger strike or something like that. But I guarantee you they will eventually eat. Like we kind of did it because, I told you that our boys had a great foundation, and then like when we lost our way a little bit, we got loose with them, and then we kind of reeled it back in 2017 with them, and we had like a little short 2 or 3 day period where they were just kind of like and I remember Mauda came home one day with Sprouts, and it was like the third day, and they were just crushing the turkey and the cheese just straight out, from the deli, and they were just like eating all the real food, and it was there, problem solved. It's crazy how quickly they adapt to things. They're very, very neuroplastic at their age. And so it's not as hard as like teaching an old dog new tricks where you're just like, your husband's going to continue to just be like, no, I need this or I need that. Family members sabotage things, that's for sure. It's always good to have both partners on board. That's huge. So if you can do that, do that. I'm just going to say this as a man. I don't know what it's like to be a woman, but I can tell you that my wife occupies a lot of authority in my mind. And if my wife is telling me that she's going to do something and I'm going to be sabotaging her if I start eating something in front of the kids and things like that, then I'm going to listen to her because she has power. Your partner is your partner. And so for me, not just because it's the right thing, it is the right thing. It really is. But it's also, you're not going to get what you need from your partner. Like, they're not going to be there for you in all the different ways that you expect them to be there for you if you're not giving them the respect and I guess the love to follow what they're doing,
Absolutely, 100%. And yeah, there's so many things you said that I love there. And like we talked about, it's not always perfect, and sometimes you have cheats. And a while back I was doing some experimentation on myself. So I had a loaf of gluten-free blueberry bread in the refrigerator. Well, I never finished it, and it was just sitting there. So yesterday we're in a hurry. My son's got to get to his karate class, and he walks in, he's 14, grabs that loaf out. He's like, "Can I eat this?" I was like, "Yeah, I don't care. I'm not eating it." And he walks in, and he makes himself a big old peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I said, "Dude, where's the protein?" And he looks around, and there's a grass-fed beef stick, and he grabs that too. And I said, "Well, do you think that's enough to actually help you?" And he goes, "Yeah, there's some protein in this." And I was like, "Yeah, how much?" And he looks, and he's like, "Oh, there's only 4 grams." And so he cut the sandwich in half, and he grabbed a yogurt and a beef stick. And he's like, "Okay, now I'm up to 25 grams." So it's like, good job.
That's awesome.
I mean, at least getting, so it's not just a straight sugar bomb.
Yeah.
It wasn't perfect, ideal situation, but it was like, hey, think about what you're doing right now and how you're pairing this, because I said, you're gonna go put a big workout on at karate, and your only thing you're eating right now is sugar. And he was like, yep, you're right. I mean, he knew, and my kids know how to read labels, and I love that because
That's
they
awesome.
know they may not always utilize it, but if you're like, hey, what do you got going on right there? Then they're like, oh, yeah, whoops, whoops, about, so, that's really a great thing. So let's talk about building muscle because
Oh, I
I'm
love that.
sure this is going to be your favorite subject. Everybody says you cannot build muscle if you don't eat carbs.
Yeah, that is one of those things that I just wish would die. I'm gonna say this because Maura yesterday was asking me about someone was a friend of hers, a female who does bodybuilding. And I'm like, look, with carbs, you're gonna get a much stronger insulin signal. There's no question. The mTOR signal is gonna be stronger because of the insulin signal. And so if you're talking about maximum hypertrophy, even with a little extra fat too, because that's a thing. Insulin is not selectively anabolic. It's anabolic in muscle cells, fat cells, everywhere. And so for a dude who's like been doing this for a while too, who's been used to like going on a 4 month bulk and gaining like 30 pounds or 20 pounds or something, and they only put on 10 pounds, I would argue, because the studies bear this out, that the quality of muscle that you put on with keto is going to be so much better. Ketones are very much, they're very anabolic. And this is a conversation, I had this conversation with Jacob Wilson at the gym like in 2017. We just saw each other. I was like, what's up, man? How you doing? He's like, yeah, how's keto going? Because I had just started not that long ago and I had made friends with him. I just, you know how these things go. You just kind of meet these people, they're locally in your area. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening. Like I'm doing this intermittent fasting every day. I'm doing some cardio stuff and I just can't seem to lose muscle. It's really weird. And he said that that's what gave him the idea to do one of these other studies. It was like, I forget what study. Well, he did one study where they put bodybuilders on a caloric deficit, and one group, and these were trained athletes, not like newbies. And one group was strict keto and one group was CKD, what is that? Cyclic
Cyclical.
ketogenic. But they did the whole weekend. And what they found was that both groups lost the same amount of weight, but the cyclical group lost a lot more lean mass and the keto group lost mostly fat. And so that's when he started to develop this idea that ketones can be anabolic. They're definitely muscle sparing. We know that, And so, for your typical everyday person, and for even for trained people, like for me, I have very rarely in the last 5 years have I been on a muscle gaining phase, just because I'm not, I train kind of, I guess, all the time to build muscle, but I'm not really like going at it hard. And when I have focused on it, I have added muscle. There's no question about it. Now, if you want to get freaky bodybuilder big, it's not gonna work. You'll never see a keto person because it's just, these guys are on insulin. Like they're literally taking insulin, So, and they're taking, all types of drugs and they're eating, they're taking peptides to increase their appetite and they're taking all these things that are gonna get them huge. But if you ask me, man, like 3 months is all it took for me when I first started a ketogenic diet to fill back out and to get vascular again, because I was always vascular. That's kind of always been my thing, even when I was a kid. And so I have that now. But now what I also have is I also have endurance for days, And so like if you're eating enough protein, because that's the most important thing, is you got to eat enough protein, and you're eating enough calories, of course, and you have a good training program, there's no question you're going to gain muscle on a ketogenic diet and you're going to do great. You can start playing around with things like, targeted ketogenic diet, maybe add them around your workout if you want to. I've kind of now at 40, I've done so much experimenting with that in the last 2 years that I'm just like, okay, I get it, because I did it for like a whole summer, 2 summers ago. And then last year in general, I did a lot of carby stuff. Part of it was just also like I was eating crappy just because I was, even though it was like, for me, it was like, consistently being at 75 to 100 grams of carbs. So just being a little bit looser than I'm usually. And I just didn't feel as good. And I can tell you that when your inflammation gets to a certain point, because you do feel like when you add some carbs, I do feel like a little zippier. I do feel certain things where I feel better, but I can tell you that what outweighs that is that over time, that inflammation just starts creeping up and creeping up. And when it gets to the point where it's affecting your training, then what does it matter if you can train harder if you can't train? So, a ketogenic diet, you can absolutely put on a ton of muscle. I'm happy to talk about how to do it. Like when we did ketogenic muscle intelligence, me and Ben Pekulski, we talk a lot about rest periods are important, resting an adequate amount. Now you could be like Robert, and Robert is his genetics, like he is built for, like he can do, he was 190 pounds and he ran a marathon without training. Like he was in the middle of a bulk. I can't do that. Like I have to train for that, also he's got a, great mindset, but it's just like, you got to know your genetics. You got to know, and so because of that, I can't really train like a carb athlete. And I would argue that probably a lot of people can't train like, so you're not going to be doing your favorite, quad set and drop sets and very little rest, because you could be, because you're not bringing any carbs. And we know that an insulin bump brings cortisol down just like that. And so if you are burning the candle at both ends, you're doing all these things, you're doing intermittent fasting, you're doing, training a certain way, and maybe you're trying to burn fat and you're noticing that you're not burning fat or you're not adding muscle, it's because your body's just so stressed. You're doing glycolytic work and, there's no sugar there. So your body's having to create a bunch of sugar. And, what ends up happening is you don't get the results you want. So you want to match your training to your diet. And if you're eating a ketogenic diet, it actually, for me, is so much better to train the way I train now. So, for example, today I did 20 sets total. But when I'm in a set, I am all the way in the set. And I remember last January 2020, Ben had gone out of town. He usually does like seminars and stuff in January, and he goes to Australia and all these places. He comes back, he's like, "Man, you got bigger. I put on a little bit of weight, a little bit of muscle." And he's like, "What have you been doing?" I was like, "Honestly, like my volume is lower, but I'm executing perfectly." If you know how to contract your muscles correctly and you know how to challenge yourself in a workout, and you're not just going in there and going through the motions, and you will grow, So that's just another component that you gotta always work on, learning your anatomy, learning how to acquire that skill so that every single rep looks the same. Because if every rep doesn't look the same, did you really do 8 reps? Maybe you got 6 reps. Why are you going to add weight if you didn't really do 8 reps? So these are things that you have to take the time to do, because a lot of people, they want to add weight, or they want to feel like they're progressing. But understand that muscles don't really know, they don't know weight. They know tension and they know length. And so, like levers and things like that. And so if you're giving the muscle the proper tension, you can make anything incredibly hard. But you gotta know to go there. Like when I'm training with Ben and he says this is the set, I'm like, "Oh, this is the set. Okay. That means I'm gonna die." And there you sometimes you go there and then you come back out, you see Jesus, you're like, "Oh, hi Jesus," then you come back to the earth.
Oh, that's awesome. And I love hearing a lot of that. And I mean, I used to be a bodybuilder. Now I don't even know what I identify as. Just like if I had to identify as
Me
something, I
either. I
have
don't know
no
either.
idea. But I've been endurance cycling. And that's
Ooh.
actually where the bread came in. I was running some experiments because I was doing some super glycolytically demanding stuff. And it was like, okay, cortisol is getting too high. I can see my HRV dropping. This is going
Oh, yeah.
on. Let's see where we can pull this in and fix this, And the funny thing is I did feel better and things were like quote unquote fixed. But the problem was, is the inflammation started getting out of control. So it was surprising that you just said that because I was like, I actually right now I'm doing straight carnivore to get it back because
Same.
I'm like, you know what? Okay, so I perfected this, so you say, right? Perfected. I got this all figured out, but I've noticed my inflammation creeping up. And then once you start doing carbs, what do they start doing? I feel like they start creeping up because then your
Oh,
hunger
yeah.
starts creeping up, and then you're just kind of in this little vicious circle. And so I came home from vacation not long ago and I was like, "Hey, honey, you know what? I'm off. I'm waking up with like little bags under my eyes. That means I got some inflammation going on. My gut's a little bit bloated. I'm like, "Nah, it's time. It's time. We're doing like at least once a year, 30 days of straight carnivore. I think it's a great thing." So, I love that you said all of that there.
Yeah, I mean, like when you there's the hedonic effect of carbs too. Like they'll if you eat them, you're gonna be kind of craving them for up to 72 hours later. And that's something that I would caution also people who've had issues in the past, because you might think, look, you're ready, you're at your goal weight, you're great, you want to experiment with some carbs, but be honest with yourself, because even when you go back, you might even because what happens is when you switch to carbs, you necessarily have to bring your fat down. And if you're used to eating high fat all the time, it's going to be weird. And then you might find that you're eating perfectly on plan. And then at the end of the day, you throw in a bunch of extra fat. And now you got high fat and high carbs, which is just a disaster for, inflammation and for what's that? It's the inflammatory type of fat. It's
Polyunsaturated fat, omega sixes.
no, not that. That's definitely inflammatory. But I'm thinking of endotoxin, which is another word for VBS or what is it? LPS, LPS, lipopolysaccharide, which is just super inflammatory, and it happens a lot when you have high fat and high carbs. And so like that's something that you got to understand is like, okay, if you're going to do the carb thing, you got to keep the calories neutral, and you're going to have to bring down the fat. And so coming back to whatever you're doing, keto, whatever, it might be hard. And so just keep that in mind. Like for me, I know everything I need to know. Honestly, for me to have done, I ran slash walked because I've been doing math training, which is just incredibly boring because you got to keep yourself like my miles are now down to 12 and a half minute miles when I can run like a five something mile, so it's like, but I was at 14 minutes like a month ago, so for me to have covered two, I did 276 miles in January. I trained 20 times and I feel great, and I didn't, not a carb was eaten, so like once you're fat adapted, you're gonna see you have so much energy, and you may not be able to do repeated efforts of like max effort sprint type stuff, but if you're just lifting and you're doing like cardio type stuff, like a little bit of endurance stuff, it's just fantastic. It's the perfect fuel system.
Absolutely. And I love that you said back there about your endurance being through the roof because that's been my experience. And it's funny because I've got other study clubs and stuff that I go to where they're macro coaches and they're like, "No, no carbs." And I'm like, or they're saying, "Yes, you can't cut carbs." And I'm like, "I feel really freaking amazing when I cut carbs." Like from a bodybuilding standpoint, it's maybe a little bit different, but for cycling, I'm like on it when I don't have carbs. No major lactic acid buildups, nothing like that. And it's just like I can cruise forever. I'm like the Energizer bunny. I did a race last fall. It was 120 miles. I didn't eat at all for it. It was great, you know.
Wow, awesome.
10 hours on the bike, no problem. But yeah, so I love that you said all of that, and it's just really great to hear that other people are experiencing this. And yeah, it just, I love it.
My pleasure. I mean, the other thing that I like to do, and this is, I guess, personal preference, you don't have to do it, but I love full body workouts. I don't want to say full body, but I don't typically do like a body part split. So like I like to do, for example, I'll do like one leg exercise, and I pretty much always start with the leg exercise, whether it's a squat, a deadlift, or something like that. And then I might do, depending, because I break easy way to just design a program real quick is just break it down into like, vertical pressing, vertical pulling, horizontal pressing, horizontal pulling, knee dominant, hip dominant, one leg for both of those. And then if you want to add in like a little bit of extra stuff like arm stuff, and I just basically make sure that all those bases are hit. And if I gotta travel last minute or I gotta do something on a Friday where your typical guy's like, oh, I'm gonna do legs on Friday. Are you? Are you really going to do legs on Friday? Oh man, I'm not feeling it today. I'm not going to come in and come back in Monday and chess International Chess Day, you're doing it. So it's like I just make sure that I get all that in because, you know, from a hormonal standpoint, you know, those multi-joint exercises are going to give you the best bang for your buck, and they're going to maintain structural integrity, which is the most important thing. Your core, your trunk has to stay strong because that's where everything is generated from. So never have had a back injury, never. And I've deadlifted 700 pounds in competition, you know, never had a back injury. Had a few knee injuries, and my femurs are like, you know, this long because my torso is like this short. You know, I'm 5'11", but my arms are 6'3 and a half, you know?
I'm
So
built very
how
similar. I'm
legs are.
short. I'm short, but I have really long femurs, so I understand how that goes.
Yeah, Maura says she used to, like, it used to hurt her watching me squat. And I squatted 6'10 in sleeves and I squatted 6'40 in wraps. But it's like, when you see it, it's a distance to travel. There's a distance there. So my knees did get messed up. But the one knee, I had my right knee that was a full reconstruction. That was, I played college football and I had one or two knee injuries, like a MCL. And then on that same knee was when I tore not my hamstring, my ACL and meniscus and full knee reconstruction. But that's my good knee now. Like my knee was Dr. Indelicato from UF, the guy who operates on all the athletes, was the guy who got me. And it's great, you know. But for the most part, I'm healthy, you know. And I think that's something that people should understand is people get on these like, I'm gonna go on a diet. I'm gonna do this. And it's like a 3 month thing. And then they hit the finish line. And it's like, you know, they see me 2 years later and, you know, they've let it go. And it's like, oh, I gotta get back into it. You know, it's more important to stay healthy and train consistently 2 days a week than train 6 days a week for 2 months and quit, or train 6 days a week for a week and quit, because it's like you went from zero to 100. So, like, sustainable. Add a little bit. Like the key is to just add a little bit more. Add some more weight, add some more reps, and make it a little bit harder. Once you're settled in there, and every time I've gotten like out of shape, whether I've, you know, gone away from rowing, gone away from things like that, I've always been very patient on the way back, and it always works better because you get discouraged. You're like, man, I feel like crap. It's better if you just like challenge yourself to the point where you can do at that point, and then just build from there.
I love it. Well, this has been such a fantastic conversation. I don't even know what I'm going to name this podcast because we talked about so many things. It was great, and I
Word
did.
salad with Danny Vega.
Yeah, exactly. Like I seriously, we touched on so many wonderful things. And if people want to find you, where do they do that?
So the main place that I'm active is I'm barely ever on Facebook. I post to there, but I'm not really on there. DannyVega.ms on Instagram. And our website, fatfueled.family. That's where the podcast is. We have programs, coaching. The blog is weak. You know, we could do a lot more there, but there's some recipes on the blog and things like that.
I understand the do more on the blog thing. I need to work towards that myself.
That and an email, a weekly email. But my buddy just challenged me to do a weekly email. So I think I'm gonna start doing it. Because we have
Nice.
like all these people in our email. We have probably like 2,500 people on a list that I've never really done anything with. And it's like, you know, I've noticed that people, they love community. You know, like when I do this carnivore keto cut is when I feel like I'm the most useful because everybody's asking me questions and I'm in it with them and I'm answering their questions. And like the same thing is like, you know, these emails that I could be doing, I could be sharing things about our week because when you're opening up an email, you're not being challenged in person to what you're doing is wrong. You're reading it in the comfort of wherever you are, and it's not, and it's like you can quietly say, oh, that's a good idea. Maybe I should start doing that, you know, like, and it's like it's a little bit different than saying, you know, like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, well, you should do this. Well, what does he think? What does he think? You know, like, because people get defensive. So it's, you know, I need to start doing more of that.
Yeah, I understand. It's like constant growth, right? That's the goal. Well,
Yep.
Danny, it's been amazing. I'm appreciative for you spending your time with us and telling us all about all and sharing all your knowledge. You've got so much. So
Oh, thank
I'm
you.
super thankful that you decided to join us today.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
Well, friends, I hope you enjoyed the episode with Danny Vega. I know I certainly did. He had a lot of really wonderful things to say. And as always, I am so appreciative of people joining me on the show to share their experiences and knowledge with all of you guys and myself. It's so great to learn from these people. If you liked what you heard today, I do request that you please stop and leave a review. They are so, so helpful for me and helpful in changing the algorithm so other people can find this podcast, because you never know when somebody is going to listen to this podcast, you change the algorithm so they could find it and something on this podcast changes their life. So it would be so wonderful if you would stop and do that, and I appreciate it so much. If you have anything you want to say to me or questions, please reach out to me. I am on Instagram at Connie Begani. Shoot me a DM. Let me know if you're liking the show or if you have any questions. And you can pop on over to my website, www.connienightingale.com. I have a ton of great information on there. And if you use the code PODCAST, you can get $10 off your next program, which is a great deal. I have so many programs that start at around $10 a week, and I am very proud of the work that I have done on my app to make wonderful programs for people so that they can enjoy my coaching at an affordable rate. So thank you so much for joining me today, and I will see you next Monday.